Tonight is Wednesday, January 1st, 2020. This is the Women's Gemara Share. We're beginning a new topic tonight, Smichut Geula L'Tfilah. Okay, Rabotai. Starting a new topic tonight. And the topic which we're starting tonight is one of the governing principles of davening shacharit, smichut geula l'tfilah. Understanding the nature of it and some of the philosophical background, halakhic parameters, does it apply on Shabbos, does it apply on Yom Tov? It'll take us, hopefully, tonight and certainly next week as well.
I think you gave it to this morning a little bit, right?
What?
This morning's little thing that you gave in the morning was about Smith and Gula.
No.
I must be reading.
No.
No, yesterday. No. Something.
I spoke up this morning? I spoke about davening Rosh Hashanah.
No, I'm talking not in shul, in your... In
your little
online. Oh, I just mentioned it for a second. Yes. That is correct. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omar Mar, it had been said previously, Kore Kriyeshma Umit Palel. The Gemara said, the Gemara quoted a Braita, that when you come home at night, what you should do is not say, you know what, I want to eat something first, I want to take a little Dremel first, I want to work out first. What you have to do is, first thing when you get home at night, is to say Kriya Shema and daven Maariv. That's what the Braita had said. Kore Kriya Shema u'mitpalel. So, the mere fact that the Braita formulated itself in such a fashion, by stating, Kore Kriyashma and then Mitpaleo, says the Gemara, Misayile l'Rabbi Yochanan. This supports Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan said, Ezehu ben Olam Haba, who is someone who would like to earn a nice portion in Olam Haba, and the Gemara mentions that many times, a couple of simple formulas how to get into Olam Haba, and none of them are really foolproof, but I wouldn't rely on them. But who is a child of Olam Haba, a person? Zeha Somech Geula L'Tfilah Shel Arvit. This is a person who places Geula L'Tfilah not only during the day, but at Maariv as well. So let's begin with the daytime, where it's crystal clear. When we daven Shacharit, we recite the Bracha of Geula, which is the concluding Bracha of the Shema. It concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Vo'al Yisrael, and there are no interruptions whatsoever to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. The next phrase is Hashem Sosai Tiktah Ufi Agiti Latecha, which is the opening of Shemoneh Esrei. So we don't tolerate any interruptions whatsoever. And in fact, this idea is so important of being so mechula l'tfilah, that if someone comes into shul late, and they're up to the middle of Birchot Shema, that's where they come. By the time they get ready to daven, or if they're a man, they put their talis and tefillin on, the tzibur is up to Shemoneh Esrei. So, the entire essence of coming to shul to daven is to daven with a minyan, tfilah b'tzibur. That means starting Shemoneh Esrei with the minyan. However, despite the fact that the minyan is up to Shemoneh Esrei, you and me are not permitted to just start Shemoneh Esrei because we would violate the rule of smichut geula l'tfilah. You have to read Birchot Shema and Shemoneh Esrei and Shema and then conclude Baruch Ato Hashem Ga'al Yisrael and begin Shemone Esrei. So if you walk in late, you're going to have to forfeit Tfilah B'Tzibur in order to at least start with Birchot Shema Yotzer Or Uvarech Hoshech. You are allowed to and encouraged to skip Sukkei D'Zimra if you're only somewhat late, and you can get to the point to start Shmon Esrei together with the Tzibur. You're allowed to skip all of Sukkei D'Zimra. If you have a little more time, you skip less. I'm not going through, you know, the sequence of how much you skip. But bottom line is you can skip everything. But you may never skip Birchot Shema in order to be Somech Ge'ula L'Tfilah. You cannot. So in that respect, Smichut Ge'ula L'Tfilah trumps Tfilah B'Tzibur. And that's in the morning. And everyone agrees that one should recite, should daven with this principle of smichut ula l'tfila. Everyone agrees to it. However, at night, where there also is birchot shema, and shmon esrei, there is a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi whether or not there is a requirement of smichut ula l'tfila at night or not. The Gemara will give two explanations for the debate. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says there is no such obligation whatsoever. And in fact, he believes, as we'll see in a second, that all three tefillot of the day, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, are bracketed between the two recitations of the Shema. In the morning you recite Kriya Shema Shel Shacharit, then you daven Shacharit, then you daven Mincha, then you daven Maariv, and then you recite Shema at night. So he obviously does not believe in Smichas Gula L'Tfilah at night. We'll see why. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if you want to earn Olam Haba, what should you do? You should make an effort to be Somech Ge'ula L'Tfilah, not only in the daytime, but at night as well. So according to him, the sequence of davening is not the way I just said it, that the three Shmon Esreis are bracketed by the Shema. You have an opening bracket, you recite Kriya Shema in the morning, then you daven Shacharis, then you daven Mincha, but then you recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, and then you recite Shmon Esrei. So the three tefillot of the day are not bracketed by the recitations of Shema.
So he would say, in Maariv, you say Shmon Esrei and then Shema?
Yeah. Especially in light of the fact that Rashi points out at the beginning of the Masechta, and it is still true today, the overwhelming majority of Batei Knesset at that time, and still today, do not wait until nightfall without Maariv. They do not. We always make a point, unless you are of Hasidic variety, who daven mincha any time of the night. There's a big shtiefel of bar
part. On the message from 5:20
Oh, really? Yeah. 5:20?
Stop the gambling.
Really? I know. It's the week. Shabbos is over already. This week, 5:18. And that's when you're still daven mincha. Right. So unless you're a Hasidic Jew, there's a shtiebel in Baruch called Shon Shabbos, where they have non-stop minyanim all day. There's a big sign on the wall. The last mincha is 90 minutes after Shkia. An hour and a half. That's after Rabbi Lutz, Shabbos is over. It's crazy what these people do. I just don't understand. Pious Jews ignoring halacha of davening mincha. But anyhow, that's what they do. So with us, we all daven mincha before Shia. So if you daven mincha before sundown, in North America, there is approximately 40-42 minutes between sundown and absolute nightfall. So in order to daven Maariv b'zman, you'd have to wait about 40 minutes. 40, 42 minutes. And people don't want to hang around on a weekday evening 42 minutes. So you daven Maariv early, and they make a big announcement. Please remember to say the Shema, all three parshiot, after nightfall. So not only Rabbi Yehoshua said, you can do that initially. It's perfectly okay to do that. Because there is no obligation of smichut lulav tefillah. According to the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, we are doing something wrong. We're doing something for convenience purposes, but we forfeit smichut lulav tefillah because you fulfill the mitzvah of shmonesre tachimarit early, but kriyat shema you can't fulfill until much later. Yeah.
So if you do that, then those minyanim don't say shema, and then
they say shema.
They do, but they have to say it again.
You have to say it again. Correct.
So that's different than what Rabbi Yehoshua
says. Rabbi Yehoshua also says you daven Maariv. Right. He doesn't say you have to say it twice, but he also says it twice. When he davens Maariv, he still says shema.
Oh, okay.
But he says you're going to have to say shema again later on. Okay. Later on. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, line 4 after the bracketed, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Omer, what I just told you, Tfilot be'emtza tiknu. Our Shmona Esrays have been established to be recited in between the two Kriyat Shemas. Kriyat Shema Shachrit and Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis are the brackets of Tfilot. That means at night there is no smichut lulav tefillah. The Gemara will explain what the kernel of the debate is in just a moment. But first we have to read Rashi.
Is that
going
to do with the fact that Maariv is a Rishut?
That's what Tosis is going to say.
Would be related to that?
One, it might be. Tosis cites a Rav Amram Gaon that might be the case. Yes?
Kriyat Shema Shalmita, is that also count as part of the bracketing part?
One. No.
And number two, why is it not considered Kriyat Shema?
Okay, so it depends. That depends on a different machlokes. How much of the Shema is required to be recited in the Doraita? How much of the Shema do we say by Kriyat Shema Lamita? Only in the first paragraph. Only Rashi says that the first paragraph is the only requirement. The Rabbeinu Yonah says you have to say the first two paragraphs. The Rambam says, which we follow, you have to say all three paragraphs. So Kriyat Shema Alamita will not be sufficient to discharge your obligation of the Shema unless you agree with the Ramban, who says that only the first pasuk is the Oraita, or Rashi, who believes that the first parsha is the Oraita. Yeah. Now, where does this idea come from that there is something to being so mech geula l'tfila? Where did that idea originate from? So Rashi has the standard explanation. Let's read the bracketed Rashi. Zeh ha-somech. That who is the ben olam haba? This is the person who is somech geula l'tfila. Says Rashi. V'chol shekein the shacharit. Certainly, you have to be somech geula l'tfila during shacharit. Of course. Why? The ikar geulat Mitzrayim b'shacharit hever. The primary exodus of Mitzrayim, geula, took place during the day. During the day. Kiddush Siv, mimacharat ha-Pesach yatzu b'nei Yisrael. The day after the Korban Pesach, and what time of the day? Macharat, mazet machar? Tomorrow, the next morning. Right? So, certainly, Shacharit. The Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi argue with them because they argue as to whether or not there was any element of redemption from Mitzrayim at night. We know for... So when you are told that you can leave, that is an element of freedom. The Paro said to Mo, get out of here. as quickly as possible. And Moshe said, we're not in any great rush now. We're going to wait until the morning. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take Bnei Yisrael out in broad daylight. Not in the middle of the night when people say, hey, snuck them out. So, do we consider the fact that you have the legal right to leave as if that is an element of Geulah? That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. And therefore we should commemorate it, by being Somech Geulah L'Tfilah, even at night. Rabbi Yeshua says, de facto, we didn't go any place at night. We were still in Mitzrayim. And if we're still in Mitzrayim, there was no real Geulah at night. If there was no real Geulah at night, there's nothing to highlight about Somech Geulah L'Tfilah. But during the day, everybody agrees that there is a halacha of Smichut Geulah L'Tfilah. I'll give you another. I gave you the situation about somebody coming late to shul. I'll give you another halacha. It applies to one person in the room, obligatory, to everyone else in the room, if you should decide to do so. About wearing tefillin. So somebody in school, this happens all the time, I forgot my tefillin. Okay? So if you don't have tefillin, in theory what you could do is daven shma, say shmon esrei, and be so metulah l'tefillah, and after shmon esrei, you ask somebody, can I borrow your tefillin, you put them on, and you're mekayem the mitzvah tefillin. But we don't say that. We say, you daven until the end of Yishtabach, and you sit there and wait. Until your friend has finished Shmon Esrei, then he takes off his tefillin, you put them on, and you say Birkas Kriyashma. So that's another halacha where that also trumps. Correct. That smichat gula l'tfila and
with tefillin,
Trump tefillah b'tzibah, because he's not going to be davening with a minyan. But that's the halacha. In the hierarchy of things, we would rather have forego tefillah b'tzibah and then be so mekulah tefillah and have tefillin on for kriya shema. The Gemara later on on daf yud beis says kol hakore kriya shema below tefillin. Ki'ilu me'id edut sheker ba'atzma. If you say ukshartam liot al yadach, and you have to put tefillin on, and you're not wearing tefillin, you're testifying falsely.
This was my daf.
What?
This was my daf.
Really?
This was my
excellent.
Daf.
That's great.
That was my daf.
Wow. That's great.
I learned something.
That was a good daf. That was a good daf. Yeah. Some people complain to me that the daf that they were assigned has so little practical relevance and talks about bizarre topics.
No, mine was so practical. I was like, oh my gosh, first Berkat HaMazon and Shema and spilling all on one page.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. Good. So now, Rashi is going to give us the source about the idea of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. And Rashi writes, Usmichut geula l'tfila rimza David b'sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech had a reference, a hint, to the requirement of being somech geula l'tfila in the book of Psalms. Dichsiv, as it is written, the last three words of chapter 19 are Hashem tzuri v'goali. We recite chapter 19 every Shabbat. It starts Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid, Hashemayim Misaprin Kvodei, and ends Yu L'Ratzonim Reifi VeHegyon Libi L'Fanecha, Hashem Tzuri VeGoali. God is my rock and my redeemer. V'Somich Lei, and the next pasuk is chapter 20. Well, that usually happens. 19 precedes 20. Usually happens. And what is the opening pasuk of chapter 20? Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara. We say that every day as well. Right after Ashrei, before Avodah Zarah. Now, the phrase means, what is Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara? God will respond to you at a day of crisis. Yan Hashem. The assumption is, if God is responding, we made a request. We daven. So the last phrase of chapter 19 talks about redemption. The first pasuk of chapter 20 talks about prayer. Therefore, since they are next to one another, there has to be a connection between smichut geula l'tfila. That's how Rashi claims is the basis, and it's found as such in the Yerushalmi. That's the Yerushalmi's source for it. So, it doesn't really tell us anything about Kriya Shema and Davening. Does not tell us anything about Kriya Shema and Davening. Just happens to be those two psukim are next to one another. And if they wouldn't be next to one another, that idea would disappear. That's Rashi's interpretation. The Rav had a different interpretation about what smichut geula l'tfilah means. And he delivered this in 1973 in the University of Pennsylvania. In the mid-70s, he was on a college campus tour. Not that he promoted himself, but they asked him to speak in a variety of places. So I drove him to Rutgers, he spoke at Rutgers, he spoke at UFP, he spoke at a couple of places. He spoke at Columbia. And each time it was huge crowds, it was like unbelievable. And his topic at UFP was prayer and redemption, a halakhic equation. And he developed this idea beautifully, beautifully. So the Rav said, look at the end of chapter 2 of Sefer Shmot. So at the beginning of the parak, we are told that Am Yisrael are still enslaved, and we give a little background about Moshe, and now the total of the narrative returns. Vayihi bayamim harabei mahen, many, many days had passed. Vayamat melech Mitzrayim, and the king of Egypt died. And what happened after he died? They appointed another pharaoh, who perhaps was worse than what? Than the first one. Vayeyanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah. Am Yisrael were moaning and groaning as a result of the difficult workload. Vayizaku, and they shouted out to God. Vata'al shavatam el Elohim min ha'avodah. And Am Yisrael, their tefillot, reached HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to tradition, when did this take place? You all learned this in the third grade, maybe the fourth. When did this take place? Because in the next chapter, the redemption process is going to start. Moshe is going to be summoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the redeemer of Am Yisrael. So when did that take place? I'm not continuing the shir, but we're done. You know the answer to this.
When is
that? Yeah, I'm not asking you the year or what happened, but what number, what year did this happen from the time that Am Yisrael were in Mitzrayim?
210.
Exactly. In year 210, this is what happened. So the Rav asked a very simple question. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't respond in year 60?
They didn't cry out.
Exactly. This is the first time that Sa'aka. They engaged in tefillah.
Sa'aka is a tefillah.
Up until now, they may have believed that they can get out of here without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's assistance. They don't need it. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything. In year 210, according to tradition, they suddenly turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears their screams. And immediately in Pasuk Chavdala, Vayishma Elohim et Na'akatam, Vayizkor Elohim et Burito, et Avraham et Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Once Am Yisrael cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he remembers the covenant. And what did the covenant say? You are going to be enslaved in a nation that does not belong to you. They will afflict you. And then, you're going to go out. So it says the Rav, this is the basis of the principle of Smichat Geulah L'Tfilah. If a person wants to stand and approach the Holy One, blessed be He, you have to come to the same realization that the people in Mitzrayim came to at that time. There's no one else to turn to. No one else. If you believe that there is someone else to turn to, you can't doubt it. To be within the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch with a prayer, a person has to strip him or herself of that arrogance that we are brilliant, we are talented, we're experienced, we can handle any issue. We come to the conclusion we can't handle any issue, nothing. Then you have a right to doubt. So the idea of smichut ulul tefillah, according to the Rav, is not simply the two psukim happen to be next to each other, but lay the groundwork for our right to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I emphasize the word right, because logically, where do we have a right to daven and expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen whenever we are ready? We're little ants in this world in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if we are prepared to acknowledge there is no one else to whom to turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to listen to us any time that we are ready. So, Geula L'Tfilah is not just a juxtaposition of psukim, it becomes the very fundamental basis of our right to daven.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why then wouldn't it be Tfilah and Geula like this is?
Okay.
In other words, why God?
It's a good question. There it had to happen in that particular perspective. Now, we're not enslaved any longer.
But any type of geula, any type of response that you're expecting, you would have to daven first.
Okay, so now, but now here it becomes a different idea. That you can't even approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless you first come to what? To acknowledge
He is the Goel.
And he's going to be the one to redeem.
Is there a pasuk with that?
No, this is just the sequence here in Shmot chapter 2, verses 23, 24, and then 25. I hear many people ask that question on the road. And it's the reverse. It is the reverse. No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Why not start davening with that?
What?
Why not start davening? Why is that the first thing that you say?
It's a good question.
What'd she say?
Why don't we start davening with smichut ulal? Because then the whole...
That's the preparation for that.
To say praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an appropriate thing before you start approaching Him. Uh-huh. But I hear where you're coming from. I hear where you're coming from.
The verbs are interesting. Vayishma, vayizkor, vayar, vayeda.
Yes.
It's a progressive.
Correct.
Progressive.
That is correct.
Interaction. Yes.
That's correct.
And finally, with intimate.
That is a good. Correct.
Between God and man.
That's why that's what the Vayeda Elohim
right,
is.
Right.
You know, when Adam and Chava have relations, it says the Adam yada et Chava ashto. Knowing means is an expression of intimate relationships between husband and wife, and here it's used between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Vayeda Elohim. He expressed a sense of intimacy to each member of Am Yisrael after they came to him with prayer. Fine. Now, okay. So now let's go back to the Gemara for a minute. I don't want to do the Gemara, all of it. I want to start with. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines before the end bracket. seven lines before the end of that, on page one. Now, if you daven Maariv, you know very well we don't do smichas gula l'tefillah. We don't. What do we say after Baal Yisrael? Every night, every time you daven Maariv, what do we say? Hashkiveinu, Hashem Elokeinu l'shalom. So the Gemara is going to ask the question. What do you mean smichas gula l'tefillah at night? We must say the bracha of Hashkiveinu. And in shul, what else do we say? Kaddish is recited after Hashkiveinu, before Shmoneh Esrei. What happened to the halacha of smichas gula l'tefillah at night? The Gemara is going to ask that on Rabbi Yochanan. And the Rav is going to give one answer, and then I'm going to share with you the Rav's more sophisticated answer than the Gemara. Asks the Gemara, Masiv Ma Bered Ravina. Everybody have it? Seven lines before the end bracket. Masiv Ma, second word on the line. On the far right, there's a little Likaman Yud Aleph in the margin. See that in the group, right? Masiv Ma Bered Ravina. He asks the following question. The Mishnah says, Ba'erev Mivarech Shtayim Lefaneha. At night, we recite two brachot prior to the Shema and two brachot after the Shema. As opposed to in the morning. In the morning, how many brachot do we recite before the Shema?
Two.
Yotzer HaMorot and HaBocher Bamo Yisrael B'Yahava. How many brachot are recited after the Shema? One. Go'al Yisrael. So I see Yu'la L'Tfilah. But at night, you're supposed to say Hashkiveinu, asks the Gemara. E amrit boi lismo. If you say that there is a requirement to make smichas gula l'tefillah at night, halo kasomach gula l'tefillah. We are not following that directive. We are not being somach gula l'tefillah. Why? The haboi l'meimar Hashkiveinu. Because you have to say Hashkiveinu Hashem Elokeinu l'shalom. Which concludes Baruch Ato Hashem Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. Answers the Gemara. Amri. Kevon de takinu rabbanon hashkiveinu. Once the rabbis have established that you're obligated to recite hashkiveinu, ki geula arichta dami. It's just a long bracha of geula. It's one run-on sentence. Baruch Ata Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, Hashkiveinu, Hashem Elokeinu, is all one run-on sentence. And Tosot will say, the Kaddish is also a run-on sentence. What in the world does that mean? What in the world does that mean? So, Tosfos, no Rishonim, try to explain how we understand that it's Geula Richta. The Gemara tries to prove it from another situation. Where does Shmoneh Esrei technically start? Where do you think Shmoneh Esrei technically starts? The bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem. And yet, the rabbis told us to start Hashem Svasai Tiftach. So since Hashem Svasai Tiftach was established by the rabbis, it becomes part of the Shmoneh Esrei.
It doesn't interrupt.
Ah.
What is it?
But
it doesn't interrupt.
That is a perfect... I can explain very well why Hashem's Masai Tetach is part of Shmoneh Esrei. Because what do we do? But why? Why? We're asking God to be able to speak to Him intelligently, articulately. That's what we're doing. So I understand why I made it part of Shmoneh Esrei. But what does Hashkiveinu have to do with the bracha of Geulah? What does one have to do with the other? And that question remains on the Gemara. Until the Rav came along. And the Rav said as follows. Listen very carefully. He said that there is a fundamental difference between the Geulah of Shacharit and the Geulah of Maariv. The Geulah of Shacharit is thanking God for the Geulah that had already taken place. The Geulah of Mitzrayim. And that's why we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having delivered us from Mitzrayim. What did you do for us? Mi Mitzrayim Ge'altan. Mi Beit Avadim Peditan. Kol B'choreyem Haragta. U'v'chor Cho Yisrael Ga'alta. V'zeyven Tibata. V'yachasumayim Soreyem. Echad Mehem Lo Notar. So it's describing what took place in the past. The Ge'ula at night, although it makes references to Mitzrayim, is primarily the Geula for the next Geula, Geulat HaMashiach. And that's why its bracha begins with Ve'emuna Chozot. Even though we're still living in Galut, and generations ago in a far more complicated, terrible Galut in comparison to our Galut, they had to have nothing but faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there would be another Geula. And it's based on the pasuk which we recite every Shabbat on several occasions, Lahagid baboker chazecha ve'emunacha balilo. When there is a period of boker, when we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to us, we say thank you, Lahagid chazecha. At night, when things are a little cloudy, we don't quite get a handle why things are happening, all we do is proclaim our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, although we recite the bracha at night, Baruch Ato Hashem Go'al Yisrael, the practice of the Geonim, early Geonim, was not to recite Go'al Yisrael at night, but rather based on a text which in certain shuls, they say these additional poetry every Yom Tov. They're called Maravos. Hardly any shuls say it any longer. But in the text of the Maravos, you look at your Maxer, it'll say that the text of the Bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech, Tzur Yisrael, V'Go'alo. That God is the rock of Israel and their eventual Redeemer as well. Not in the past tense. That it's not referring to the Geula of the past. Says the Rav, now that I know that the Geula at night is for future Geulot, I know why Hashkiveinu is appendage to it. Hashkiveinu asks God that there should be nothing to preclude the arrival of the new Geula. We ask him for physical protection. The Hagain Ba'adenu, the Haser Me'aleinu. What are we asking? Get rid of Oyev, the enemy, Dever, plagues, Cherev, the sword, Vira'ov, famine, V'yagon, despair. And then we ask God for spiritual protection. Let there not be any spiritual obstacles. The Haser Satan. So the reason why Hashkiveinu is considered Geula Arichta, because it fits in with the idea that the Geula at night is the future Geula. So we offer a brief prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should not allow either anything physical or spiritual that might convince him, you know what, we're not yet ready for Geula. Hence, it is considered a Geula Arichta. And then, to take care of Tosus's remark, that we say a Kaddish, the Chazan says a Kaddish, after we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do his part and protect us from Oyev and Dever and Satan, we do our part. We're going to sanctify your name in this world. Yitkadal v'yitkadash Shmei Rabbah. And what will everybody respond? Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach Li'olam Olmei Olmayah. So the Kaddish is our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are going to do whatever is possible, whatever is necessary to trigger the next Geula. And therefore, one can look at Hashkiveinu and the Kaddish as being part and parcel of the Geulah and do not represent an interruption between Geulah and Tefillah. I'll take a question 1 second. However, the Rav Amram Gaon, Tosfos quotes it, I'll show it to you in a second, says, the reason why we say the Kaddish is to show that there is no smichut Geulah l'tfilah. That's why we say the Kaddish. Why is there no smichut Geulah l'tfilah? Because Tfilas Arvus is Rishus. You don't have to daven Maariv at all. So if Tfilas Arvus is Rishus, the rabbis didn't establish any format for the recitation of Tfilat Arvus. That's what Tosfos is going to say. Yes? Yes.
Isn't that
Geulah? Yes. But only Sfardim say that. Ashkenazim don't say it. But that's what it means. Let the time for Geulah come and let the Mashiach come. That's what the Nusach Svarat said. And Egotam is right. Yes. 100%.
To the tefillah, it's not only the bracha before, it's also the
bracha
after.
Huh.
When you said
yes.
So it's also
the bracha, the primary bracha, which indicates smichut ulad tefillah, is the bracha after the Shema.
Oh, okay.
Not the bracha before.
But didn't we just say that there's the reason when we had that whole conversation about why the geulah would come first, as opposed to the tefillah and then the geulah?
Right. No, the point was that Shari made that in Mitzrayim,
right. No,
the tefillah preceded.
Right. But yet so we, here it is too then, if we're saying it's really the bracha afterwards, no?
Yeah. It's the bracha after Shema, before Shema.
Oh, the bracha after Shema. That's, okay.
Yeah. Not right. The bracha after Shema.
I just got totally confused.
No problem. No problem.
Of course.
Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah. Good. So that's that. So take a look at Tosafot. It's in the Tosafot. I should have bracketed. There is a dot in the middle of the Tosafot between the word Asara and Umihu. Right in the middle. You got it?
Yeah.
Umihu, the Seder Rav Amram, in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon. Piresh, Masha'anu Omrim Kaddish, Ben Geulah l'tfilat Arbid. The reason why we recite Kaddish between Geulah and Arbid and Shemot Esrei, la'ashme'inan, is to teach us de'lo be'inan mismach gula de'arvid l'tfilah. That there is no requirement to be somech Geulah l'tfilah at night mishum de'tfilat Arvid rishus. Because Tfilas Arvus is Rishus. Tfilas Arvus is Rishus. Because if you don't have to do something, Chachamim didn't want to impose and understand that how to do it. You want to daven any way you want. You don't want to daven, don't. Where the Tfilah is mandatory, they established strict guidelines how to fulfill it. If it's an option in the first place, when we do the sugya of Tfilas Arvus Rishus, we will see that Tosfot thoroughly rejects interpreting the phrase literally. Thoroughly rejects. And that's not what Tfilas Arvus Rishus means. And he proves it from two important sources. I'll just tell you one tonight. It's an excellent retort. We just had Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, Shabbos and Sunday. What happens if you forget to say Ya'ale V'Yavo during Shacharis or Mincha? What's the halach? You have to repeat the Shemon Esrei. Unless you're a student of Reb Chaim, I'll tell you one day Reb Chaim, Chaim said, you don't have to repeat, just stop Musaf right away. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. But the standard Pesach halach is, if you forget to say Ya'ale V'Yavo, you repeat the Shemon Esrei. By Maariv, what is the halacha? You do not have to repeat the Shemon Esrei. And Tosfot and the Gemara says, why don't you have to repeat it? But no, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, because in the time when they sanctified the new moon, based on the witnesses,
sanctified... You can't do it at night.
You can't do it at night. Beis Din does not sit in session at night, only during the day. So since the sanctification in Beis Din only takes place during daylight hours, our declaration, our proclamation of Rosh Chodesh only really is significant during the day. But at night, that's the reason. And the words are, She'ein mekadshin ha-chodesh elo bayom. We only sanctify the new moon during the day. Ask Tosfot, who needs that fancy explanation? Why don't you just say, you know why you don't have to repeat it? Because you didn't have to daven it in the first place. Phoebus Abbas is Rishos. So Tosfos says, Tfilas Avos Rishus doesn't mean that it's Rishus.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? It means if you are faced with another mitzvah opportunity, then you do the other mitzvah and you're exempt from Marit.
Which is not true of Shacharis?
But which is not true of Shacharis. And, but on a regular night, if your choice is putting your feet up on your lounge chair and watching ESPN or Daven Maariv, you have to Daven Maariv. That's what Tosfos says. He reinterprets the phrase Tfilat Arvit Rishus. Doesn't say it means literally, but that's not what the Rav Amram Gaon, he means that it's not. It means it's real Rishus. That's Rav Amram Gaon. It's real Rishus. So if it's real Rishus, Chachamim did not establish guidelines how you should daven something that you didn't have to daven in the first place. That's Tosfos. But that's a totally different way of looking as to why the Kaddish is recited, not the way the Rav explained.
It's not really true, because there are a lot of guidelines. You don't just daven whatever off the mark, there's a lot of guidelines. It's exactly what we say and how we say it in the order. There are a lot of guidelines.
What?
There's plenty of guidelines for mark. It's not really true. We don't just say, okay, daven an evening service, say whatever you want.
I know.
There's a lot of guidelines.
I know. It's not an easy Rav Amram. It's a difficult Rav Amram going, but that's what he says. Yeah. Now, I want to frame a question that will lead us into a lot further discussion. This halacha of smichut ulul tefillah, is it a halacha which is driven by kriyat shema, or is it a halacha that is driven by tefillah? What, in effect, is the primary reason for smichut ulul tefillah?
Tefillah meaning amida.
Amida, yes. What is driving it? Is it the kriya shema, or is it the shmona esrei? And I'll give you a practical difference between the two. And it involves everyone in this room, except me.
Women.
Yes. Now, are you obligated to recite the Shema?
No.
No? How come? It's Man Grama. It has a fixed designated time. So what's my next question?
Are we obligated to recite?
Are you obligated to engage in smichus ulul tefillah? If it's a function of the Shema, the answer would be no. You can't have a function of Shema when you're not obligated to recite the Shema.
No, but once you're already saying the Shema, you're taking upon yourself to say it. So that
but why do I have to follow guidelines if I didn't have to say it in the first place? Just like Moses over there.
You're taking it upon yourself to say the Shema.
So but we do that with other things.
We do it all the time. Once you take it upon yourself to say it, so you follow
You're not
guidelines.
Required to hear me though.
You are. You are.
No, but anything then we do it within the guidelines. We don't say, okay, we're not obligated to do it in any way we want.
No, but
still follow the guidelines.
Okay.
Are we required to say Shema B'mita?
As a woman, I don't like that.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Isn't tefillah also Zman Korah because you have to do it before the fourth?
No, that's the individual tefillah timing. Yeah. But the concept of tefillah is not Zman Korah. Can daven any time you want. Okay. And therefore tefillah, right. The idea of tefillah, women are obligated in tefillah.
Yeah.
So some say that if it's a function of the Shema, women never have to be worried about it. And any time they come to shul late, which happens occasionally, they don't come at 9 o'clock on a Shabbos morning, and the tzibur is almost up to Shimon Esrei, what they should do right away is say Shimon Esrei with the tzibur. And forget about everything we learned tonight. Why? Because it's a function of Kriya Shema, and you're not obligated. However, the Magen Avraham writes, I'll bring in the source next time, says that women...
not obligated for the tzibur.
But I know, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to not, because I have it right here. Go to page number 4. Says the Magen Avraham, Nashim, talking about women for Kriyat Shema, Nirali. The Nashim Piturot Gamkein mi Birchos Kriya Shema. Women are exempt from Birchos Kriya Shema as well as Kriya Shema. Why are they exempt from Birchos Kriya Shema? Because if you're not Chayv in Kriya Shema, why do you have to say Birchos Kriya Shema? Fine. The Yesh Lohem Gamkein Zman Kavua. They also have a Zman Kavua. So, now, skip, he goes off on a little tangent. Skip to the next to the last line. Towards the end, 6 words before the end of the last line. It says, Ach, Nirali, the Mikol Makom, Michuyavim, Lomar, Emet, V'yatziv. They have to say the paragraph, Emes V'yatziv, which concludes, Baruch Ato Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. The Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim Hu De'oraita. The remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim is a din De'oraita and may not be Zman Grama. You can do it any time during the day and any time at night. V'im kein Tzrichim Lismoch Ge'ula L'Tfilah. Before, what was going to be his conclusion? That since you're not obligated to recite the Shema, you're not obligated to recite Birkos Kriya Shema, therefore, when you walk in at 9:30 up to Shimon Esrei, what do you do? Say Shimon Esrei right away. But he concludes, no. Despite the fact that you are exempt from Kriya Shema, you should be Somech to Ula L'Tfila. Because you have to say at least the third paragraph, which fulfills the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim. And he obviously believes that what's driving the halach of smichut gula l'tfilah is not the Kriya Shema, but is the Shmon Esrei, the tfilah. And women are obligated to daven. And they have to say the last paragraph, which means smichut gula l'tfilah. In which case, if you come in at 9:30, you start at the beginning of the siddur. And they're up to Shmon Esrei, you don't skip anything. Because we will say Tfila b'tzibur against smichas geula l'tfila, smichas geula l'tfila trumps tfila b'tzibur even for you. Even for you. Yes?
I have a question on the Kriya Shema.
Yes?
Aren't women obligated in the conceptual part of Kriya Shema?
To be the Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim? In theory, yes. But there is no mitzvah at any particular time of the day to engage in saying, I'm the Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim.
That's the same thing.
It's not a mitzvah of action. You always have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
But even the... You don't have to say it.
It's not an action.
Or oral.
So that's an action as opposed to Kabbalah Omer.
Correct, that's which is basically the thought process.
That's a verbal action?
Correct, yes. You can't just think about these things. You have to say it. That's why, according to many, that's why we have the third parsha of the Shema. Only because of not because of the tzitzis. The third portion of the Shema is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Rotzeis Yisrael.
You're saying
he
could be
Makawa
Malchus Shema without the Shema.
Yes.
You just think of that.
Correct.
Same as my gift.
All right, we'll stop here. Continue next above.
Okay. Thank you.
is a great drasha.
The five did I can.
What is that?
A great drasha.
Yes. No doubt.
Thank you. I think I can count up the minimum that I have to say is starting where.
The minimum, Yotzer or Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
Right at the bottom.
So, okay, so I have to be there for Baruch
Hashem. And you can go straight. So that's about 920. Approximately 920 is when we're at the bottom. Approximately.
It goes so fast here.
That's not a lot of people say. They don't go fast.
At least one shop.
Yes.
At least.
Thank you very much. Did you go to the CM Hashem today?
I was going to. I had a sitting ticket on the dais.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a rabbi. But I have such a terrible cold. My doctor said he doesn't advise.
I just watched it online. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
Very, very.
But I'll tell you, I had the same comment that I did last 7.5 years ago.
Which was?
I learned nothing.
What is it?
But
there was
somebody spoke
those speeches.
Yeah, I want to hear if Shmuel Kamenetsky gets up and speaks, Malkiel Kotel gets up and speaks.
But it was,
I want to learn something about brachos or neither, one of the two.
Yeah.
Nothing but chizuk midaf, learning midaf, learning midaf, learning midaf, learning.
But it was still mashiru.
Yeah, I know. It's an
experience.
Everybody says the experience is the davening. Saying Omein Yehoshim and Rabba with 90,000 people, that's the experience.
Yeah.
But listening to Shmuel Kamenetsky, all he did was read the last three lines and say to heaven, didn't say a bloody word.
I know, but it's interesting, this Mr. Shatterstein who gave the
yes.
He was breaking his teeth over the word. It's so interesting to see.
Yeah.
It's like it was very emotional to
yes.
see this. I was very.
It makes me think of that bracha that you say when you see a lot of people together.
Oh, yeah, there is such a bracha, yeah.
Really powerful.
I hope you don't mind that I
didn't
make it.
No, it's
me. Hold on, thank you. You'll do it. You got it. No, it's okay.
No, I didn't understand. What's going on?
Okay, so the OU is having something in Keter Torah. No. So I suggest they ask if we can join.
Okay.
Sabina felt that for the 190 people who learned one daf, they'll be swallowed up. No one's going to recognize them per se. So she wanted to have them here. Now that there's this rally on Sunday, there's a big rally about anti-Semitism. All major Jews are falling to pretend. So then maybe we'll do it on Shabbos before the Kiddush. Make the scene before the shit.
I'm slow on it, okay?
Yeah. I'm having a bad cold. Other than that, I'm fine.
Care.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Next week, Wednesday, we're starting.